You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio.
This is the future.
You built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
It's alive!
It's the sound of science!
General Motors installed the first robot at a plant 53 years ago in New Jersey. That robot could weld and move parts that weighed up to 500 pounds. Since that seminal moment in 1961, robots have become common in many workplaces, even as many human workers eye them with distrust. An Oxford University report published earlier this year predicted that robots could replace nearly half of the current U.S. workforce. Or could they? Can humans keep up or even keep ahead of the technology changing the workforce? These are especially important questions here in Michigan, with its historic ties to the auto industry, which makes up about 40% of the global supply of industrial robots. Stephen Spurr is chair of the Department of Economics and professor at Wayne State University. So good to have you with us on Stateside.
Oh, thank you, Cynthia.
Well, that Oxford University report that predicts that robots could replace nearly half of the current American workforce, do you agree with that report?
Well, not necessarily. I'm not sure exactly what they have in mind there, but I think what they're looking at is what we call the substitution effect of one factor of production for another. And that's the sort of thing that it's only half of the story. You also have to look at what we call the scale effect. And the way that works is, for example, in the case of robots, if you introduce a more productive kind of machine, what you're really doing is lowering the cost of capital.
Okay.
And in effect, so what that means is that whenever you lower the price of a factor like capital, then there's a tendency to substitute for labor. So you would be laying off workers who would be in effect replaced by the robots on the assembly line. However, you also have to think about the scale effect, and what the scale effect is all about is that if you reduce the cost of production, you are going to ultimately lower the cost of the product that you're selling, such as automobiles, and then people are going to buy more automobiles, and that means an expansion of output of the factory, which means they have to hire other factors of production to produce more. So they're going to hire more accountants, more lawyers, more computer programmers, more systems analysts, more bookkeepers, all kinds of other types of labor to, in effect, to add to their labor force. So that's something that has to be considered, too.
So it sounds like good news if you're an accountant, bad news if you were working on the line.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And that's what we've seen playing out in Michigan. In fact, I love that term that I've seen you use in interviews, a hollowing out of jobs because of robots. Explain more what that means.
Well, what that means is that the sort of the middle of the road type jobs seem to be disappearing. There's some evidence that there's more demand for highly skilled workers and in some cases relatively low-skilled workers, but not much for the sort of the middle-of-the-road routine types of jobs.
And when these lower-skilled or middle-of-the-road routine jobs workers are replaced by technology, replaced by robots, where do they shift to? What kind of jobs do they shift to?
Well, they basically they have to in the short run, they may shift to other types of jobs other than in the industries that they replace. But basically, there's a problem in that they have to the increase in jobs tends to be for the highly skilled and to some extent for the low skilled. So they have to scramble a little bit.
And this is certainly something we've seen happening, you know, especially in the last 7-8 years in Southeast Michigan, with such a heavy reliance on these lower skilled industrial jobs.
Right. Well, there's a lot of evidence that with the advances in technology, that the high-skilled workers are sort of complementary with the machines and technology, and the middle to low-skilled people are being substituted for. So that's probably the trend. Now, I should say also that, you know, the workforce is not a stagnant kind of entity. I mean, what we've seen actually is that there's more and more people are understanding this. And so we have more and more students who are coming out of high school and want to enter what we call the STEM fields, mm-hmm. Science, technology, engineering, and math. And I've recently seen quite a bit of evidence of this, which sort of surprised me because these fields have been less popular in the past. But people are basically understanding that this is the way the economy is going, and they're adapting to it.
I was intrigued by some interviews that I read with you strongly disagreeing with European economists who maintain that there is a finite number of jobs. Why do you think that's a misconception?
Well, it's a misconception, and actually it's a very widely held misconception. And the reason it's a misconception is that it is not true that there are a finite number of jobs. And so that, for example, if we want to provide job opportunities for young people, we have to make sure that we have the older people retire at a certain age. That's just not true. What makes people productive is their human capital. And so if they have the training and the human capital to do a job, they can do a job. Now, they may have to start a business, or they may be doing their job in different ways, but they have the potential to be productive. So it's just not true that there is, you know, X number of jobs, and so there's this increasing competition for this finite number. We always have expansions in different industries when there's a demand for it.
Steve, I'm interested in your thoughts. What jobs do you believe won't exist in 10 or 20 years?
Well, I guess just judging from what's gone on in the past, it's really hard to say. But I think basically I would go along with kind of the conventional wisdom on that, which is that the sort of the routine jobs that can be done by rote are going to be disappearing if they haven't already. So, for example, routine accounting work is being replaced by things like TurboTax. So many of the assembly line jobs have almost disappeared and will continue to disappear. For example, my son works in New Jersey, and when he shops for groceries, he doesn't go to the grocery and walk around the aisles and put things into a shopping cart. What he does is he goes to a website, and they have a record of what he's ordered in the past, and so he can either order the same bundle of groceries, or he can tweak it and add other groceries. And then he submits that, you know, that's a click of the mouse. And then he also indicates the time that he wants to pick up the groceries. So then he goes there, and somebody brings the groceries out to his car. So what that does is eliminates the need for somebody to answer the phone and take his order. So those types of very routine, not very, you know, those kinds of jobs are going to be replaced. We can pretty well count on that.
But do you envision a scenario where we would have close to a zero labor economy? Would we move away from having human workers for the most part?
Well, no, I don't think so. But I would say this, that there's a tendency, there's a historical tendency, I mean, very clear, that when the real wage increases over historical time, the hours of work declines. So, for example, in 1890, the normal work week in the U.S. was 60 hours. And by 1914, it was less than 56, and now it's down to 40 or less in the U.S. We also know that if you compare the U.S. with other countries in the world, the countries where the real wage is lower, people have a longer work week. I mean, people work a lot more hours in Bangladesh, people who are working full-time, than full-time workers in the U.S. So I think, yes, we will work less hours, fewer hours,
mm-hmm.
But I don't think we're going to we're going to be released from doing any work, at least not in the foreseeable future.
Stephen Spur is the chair of the Wayne State University Department of Economics. It's been very interesting talking robots with you, Steve. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks.